Hello, everybody. Welcome to My Sports Musings podcast. My name is Frank Diglio. We're going to talk today about the Yankees and the Giants. The Yankees lost last night 9-4 to the Red Sox in a game that, I mean, they really can't afford to lose many games for the rest of the season. But they really can't afford, they really can't lose to teams that are as bad as the Red Sox, 16 games under 500. As currently they stand, the Yankees are 4 games back in the loss column of the Detroit Tigers for that last wild card spot. Now the only, here's the thing the Yankees have to start hoping for. They're also 3 back of Seattle and tie with Cleveland, who are also all competing for that same wild card spot. But here's what the Yankees have to hope for. They have 3 left with Kansas City. I believe they're all 3 at the Yankees. The Yankees need to root for Detroit to leapfrog Kansas City, and the Yankees need to sweep Kansas City. Because if they do that, obviously they pick up a lot of ground. Now, the problem is Kansas City's a lot better than the Yankees this year. So, you know, saying they need to sweep a team that's definitely better than them is a bit of an issue. But that's kind of the hole the Yankees dug for themselves at this point in the season, only 4 games over 500. The Yankees are also 9 out of Baltimore, which is 1 more game than they have left against Baltimore. And I believe it was Derek Jeter who said, as long as we have more games against them than we are games back, we're sort of kind of in control of this thing. Well, that's not the case at the moment, and it remains to be seen if the Yankees will ever be closer to Baltimore than they have games left with them. What those two teams do against each other head-to-head obviously will have a great impact on that. But, I mean, last night, you know, the Yankees looked terrible. They gave up 6. They were down 6-0 by the third inning. Shane Green was just atrocious. It was his worst start all season against the Red Sox. And the Red Sox, man, I mean, the Red Sox, they don't play well against anybody but the Yankees when they're bad. And they're bad this year. But, you know, Xander Bogaerts is the first 21-year-old to have 4 hits against the Yankees since Carl Yastrzemski did it back in the 60s. Like, you know, he's not having a good year. He hit the Yankees. Daniel Nava was sent down in the minors earlier this year because of his poor play. He hit a 3-run home run against the Yankees. Obviously, Ortiz and Napoli kill the Yankees, always have. In like 60 or 61 games, Napoli has, I think it's 16 home runs against the team. Mookie Betts hits the Yankees. Like, everyone on Boston does. So if the Yankees don't really pick it up and pick it up soon, and what I mean by picking up soon is they need to win these next 2 games, and they can't even be particularly close. Like, they need some big, we're better than you smackdowns to get a little bit more confident in themselves, because the Yankees, they just look flat. And I know baseball, it's easy to say, oh, they look flat, because anytime you're playing poorly in baseball, you look flat. Like, in basketball, if you're executing well and you're just not making the shots, you don't look, you know, you still look like you're doing everything right, it's just not working out in your favor. In baseball, when you're not hitting, you're not hitting, it just looks bad. But tonight, you've got Kuroda, and tomorrow, Capuano. They both need to win. And if they can win both of those, look, the Yankees have Pineda Shields in the first game in Kansas City. And remember how that worked out in the makeup game when the Yankees beat Kansas City 8-1. That was a Pineda Shields game. So, you know, maybe the Yankees win these next 2. They could win 3 in a row in Kansas City, come in a little hot. Like I said, the Yankees have to hope by then that Detroit jumps Kansas City. So it's kind of a weird situation where you're almost rooting for Detroit even though you're also chasing them, because you have 3 games against Kansas City that you don't have with Detroit, so you can kind of, you have a better chance of controlling your destiny with that. Also, when the Yankees play 3 with the Royals, they host the Royals, and September 7th, that's the last time they play a team outside of the American League East for the rest of the year. Then they have 3 hosting Tampa Bay, 4 at Baltimore, 3 at Tampa Bay, 4 at Toronto, 4 hosting Baltimore, and then they end with 3 at Fenway Park. So that's really what we're looking at for the Yankees, and they have not played their division particularly well. They've had issues with all the teams in the American League East, so that could spell a real, you know, doom and gloom for the team heading down the stretch. But, you know, they're in a situation where they don't have a choice. They got to win these games. It's not, they can't afford to lose any more games. It's that's it for the rest of the year. And, I mean, obviously, not going defeated, but they can't have any more bad losses. They can't lose three in a row. Like, they're on a three-game losing streak right now, and it's got to end tonight. And we'll see. If the Yankees come out and they lose again, like, you know, 9-4, 10-4, whatever, 8-3, then, you know, maybe it's just never going to turn around like most Yankees fans assume that it will. To give you a little bit of a picture, the Fangraphs playoff projection model has the Yankees at a 2.9% chance of winning the wild card. Well, and a 3.9% chance, okay, of winning the actual wild card game, and a 3.9% chance of making the playoffs in general, of getting to that wild card game. It doesn't look good for them, but we'll, you know, we'll see. We'll just have to go game by game with this team. And as bad as they've been, they're only four out in the lost column, that second wild card spot. It's not insurmountable, but they have to start winning now. They can't, like, this is it. This is Sunday of the major in golf. You know, you're four strokes back. Either you start birdieing holes now, or you go home. You can't win-loss. You can't, like, win three in a row, then drop three in a row. It's like hitting a par. It doesn't do you any good. You need to pick up games now. And we'll see what the Yankees do. You know, if you're a betting man, no, they're probably not going to make the playoffs. They look shot. And there's no reason to think a team four games over 500 through 133 games, and not only that, with a negative run differential, is all of a sudden going to pick it up and turn into this amazing... 136 games, I'm sorry, is going to pick it up and turn into this amazing stretch. It doesn't seem like it's likely to happen. But stranger things have happened in baseball. You know, remember 2007, the Rockies finished. They won like 21 of 22 games to end the season. They got in as a wild card, and then they went on to the World Series and lost to the Red Sox. The Phillies did it twice to the Mets. And the Rays did it to the Red Sox. Actually, and the Cardinals did it to the Braves back in 2012. So it can happen. It's just not... Oh, yeah, 2011. So it can happen, it's just not, you know, obviously as common. And moving on, just something about the Giants. Jeff Schwartz, the best offensive lineman on the team, it was put on the IR. He's eligible to come off the IR in Week 9, which would be against the Colts. The Giants signed former San Francisco 49er guard Adam Snyder. And he's in the league for 9 years, so that's good, because if you're in the league for a while, obviously you have talent and you can produce. They don't keep you around for that long. But he was just cut, so that means something. You know, if he was really, really good, the 49ers wouldn't have cut him. What the Giants had to hope is, because the 49ers always have a great offensive line, that they were just so deep that they were just making roster cuts in a deep area to fill more troubling areas for them. The problem with the Giants and their offensive line struggles is they played Detroit in the first game. That's going to be tough because Detroit has a very good pass rush. And then Week 2, Cardinals just have a great defense overall. But Week 3, when they're still not going to have Schwartz, and their offensive line still could be a work in progress, they got to play the Houston Texans. That's in New York, or in the swamps of Jersey, to be more accurate. But the issue is, the Texans have J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney. And I am not betting any kind of money that the Giants are going to be able to stop Watt or Clowney for most of the game. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they both had at least one sack and one of them had multiple sacks. That's got to be really scary for the Giants. The only thing you got to hope for is that quick passing offense, you know, gets the ball out quickly, so then Watt and Clowney can't get to Eli quick enough. But at the same time, J.J. Watt is also a master of tipping passes at the line. And when you do quick passes, a lot of times they're pretty low passes because then no one's downfield. So that could be that's going to be an interesting matchup. That's going to be a real test for the Giants' offensive line to hold up, see what they can do against them. The good news is, Week 2, when they host Arizona, who might be better than them, it's a 1 o'clock start on the East Coast. West Coast teams typically play very poorly then. And same thing with Houston's 1 o'clock start. I know Houston's not a West Coast team, but they're also not an East Coast team. Maybe their body takes, you know, half hour, an hour into the game to really get it going. But I mean, obviously, that's a little that's a bit of a reach. But when you're a team like the Giants, when you're a fan of the Giants right now, it's there's not much else to hope for. So we'll see what happens there. Odell Beckham, Tom Coughlin said, might take 3 to 4 more weeks to fully recover from his hamstring injury and play, which means the Giants are a little thin at receiver. And there's an article on it today about it, or a video on it today on ESPN New York talking about it. And they write Jarrell Jernigan, who's played well for the Giants in the past, which is a good sign, needs to step up big. He looks like he's going to be the number three receiver. And without a definite at tight end, the Giants are going to be relying on their receivers and running backs to be a lot of the passing game. So, oh, and Mariota Manningham's on the IR as well. But I think he's also eligible to come off after 8 weeks. So that's really the situation for the Giants. They're a little bit injury-stricken, but it's not too bad. It's nothing... I doubt that we'll look back and we'll say, oh, the Giants missed the playoffs because of all those terrible injuries leaving preseason. Like I said, Schwartz is a big miss, but it's he's not back-breaking. You know, it's not like the Rams losing Sam Bradford or when you lose someone that good, or if the Lions, you know, lost Calvin Johnson or something. It's nothing of that magnitude has happened to the Giants, and hopefully that remains to be the case for the entirety of the season, but it's football, so don't count on it. We're going to wrap it up. That's the podcast. My name is Frank Diglio. You can email the show at mysportsmusings@gmail.com, and thanks for listening.